You're in the Trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. And I want to thank you for listening to part one of Solomon Wilcox, our conversation with Solly about free agency and, of course, the upcoming NFL draft. And in part two of the two-part series here, we really focus on the draft. What will it look like at 31? What would the options be at 31? A lot of things to think about. A lot of players that are going to be available. The good news is, at 31, there's going to be multiple options of very good players available. Will the Bengals trade back? All those things we've talked about. You're going to like it. In that regard, when you look at the defensive back, Solly, you know, there's a bunch of good corners on the board. And I don't want to leave any of these guys out, but I think a lot of them are going to be gone. Ahmad Sauce Gardner will be gone. I think Derek Stingley will be gone. Trent McDuffie will probably be gone. Elam from Florida. He's probably, a lot of people have him rated as an early two, if not a late one. He would probably be there. Booth, they're saying, would be there. Gordon, the other corner from Washington, and maybe a little bit later in the second round. I kind of like this Booth kid. What do you see from these guys? And is there anybody that's kind of caught your eye? I like Booth's athleticism. What do you think?
I like Andrew Booth from Clemson. Versatile player.
Yeah.
Remember, if you played at Clemson, you played for Brett Venable.
Yep.
And here's a guy that's a phenomenal defensive coach. He now goes over to Oklahoma, become the head coach there with Lincoln Riley going out to USC. But what it means to have played in that system is you're going to be well-versed in both man and zone coverage. You understand how to disguise your alignment and disguise your intent. You're going to have to play press. You're going to have to play from off. You're going to have to do a number of different things. But you're going to, you know, coming here to the NFL won't be the first time that you're being taught these things. It'll be part of your repertoire for having played in that kind of program that they have at Clemson on the defensive side of the ball. So that's what Andrew Booth gives you. He gives you great versatility. The same could be said with Kyle Gordon, because at the University of Washington, I think I love teams that play a good combination of man and zone. Man from off, man disguising as you do that press bail technique and run out, but yet you're still in man coverage. Guys that still have to get up there and press and play man-to-man coverage, but guys who also can pattern read, right? And play from off and see a lot of traffic and movement in front of you and still not bite and allow one guy to sneak behind you. You'd be surprised how many guys who are so used to playing man-to-man coverage and then they get into the NFL and they're asked to play from off and read multiple things. They just can't get it done. That's what's happening with Greedy Williams with the Cleveland Browns right now. He played at LSU, good man-to-man cover guy, but you put him from off and ask him to read in terms of the patterns at the combination route. And the guy's giving up big plays. Those are the things that you want to be able to see from some of these young college players, particularly at the cornerback position. There's another guy, Lewis Sin, at the University of Georgia. And I know we don't really need a safety.
Yeah.
Because we have Jesse Bates and Von Bell, who I absolutely love.
Right.
But this kid is versatile. He can play inside, okay, as a dime defender. He's a good safety. He can play in space on the back end. You can match him up against some tight ends because he can run and cover, but he is extremely smart. He's extremely bright. And I think that kind of player to play in the slot, we're going to play against a lot of teams that can throw the ball. I love to get another outside corner. There's no doubt. But if we get there and most of them are gone and the edge rushers are gone, I think a guy like a Lewis Sin, if he lasts that long, what you're talking about is a bigger type of player. With say a broader skill set, but more like a Mike Hilton, a guy who can play inside, outside, back deep, but has a tremendously high football IQ where he can mix and match and disguise and really communicate to make plays on the back end.
What do you think about in that regard, a guy that could possibly play slot as well as safety? Do you think Dax Hill from Michigan might fit into that category? And is it pronounced Petrie, the kid from Baylor? Would he fit in that category as well?
Yeah, I'm not so sure about Petrie, but Jalen Petrie, but certainly Dax Hill is that kind of guy.
Right.
He's going to remind you of a Mike Hilton. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. I mean, to me, Lewisohn or Dax Hill from Michigan, those guys, I'm extremely interested if they last. I mean, look, it's going to be hard. But listen, I just think we have that kind of depth across a lot of different positions that when the Bengals go on the clock at 31, there's going to be a really good football player there. Right. You know, normally it's kind of slim pickings, right? But I think when you talk about we would love to get an edge rusher, we'd love to get a secondary, a secondary defender, and if there was an offensive lineman that was of a high pedigree, I think one of those three could be there, and we could still use some greater depth and a big time player at those three positions, and I think we may find one with that 31st overall pick.
You know, one thing that as I kind of look at tape and hear, read and hear things about some of these defensive backs, you know, you'll hear and see, oh boy, there's a missed tackle, and it's largely for being overly aggressive. You know, I would much rather have a guy that I'm going to pull back rather than have to light a firecracker under to get going. You know what I mean? It's like, isn't it easier to coach? You know, okay. I love your aggressiveness. Can we just like choke it back a little bit? Isn't that an easier adjustment to try to coach into a guy and out of a guy than lack of aggressiveness?
Yeah, I think Mike Tomlin put it best. He said, look, I'd rather have to say whoa than sickle. You know, if you you know how you have a dog and something's going on in the yard, you want that dog just off the porch and taking care of it, right? He just down. If you have to say, hey, sickle, hey, go back. No, you got to get yourself a new dog, right? But it's the same with players, man. You rather have the kind of player that's got that natural instinct of being aggressive. You rather have to pull them back a little bit than have to, you know, poke and prod them to get them to go out there and be aggressive. That's just plain and simple as that. This game is inherent with a certain amount of energy that intimidation works in this sport. Physicality works in the sport. These are assets and tools of the trade, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. You'd rather have all 11 guys understanding that and understanding how to implement it without crossing the line. The Bengals are one of the least penalized teams in the National Football League. I think that speaks to great coaching, to be honest with you. I think it speaks to great preparation. But yet, this is a team that was aggressive enough to be able to get critical turnovers at critical moments in some big time games. That's threading the needle in terms of being aggressive, but yet still being smart. I think it's something that's always been inherent for Cincinnati Bengals defensive backs. I'm just saying that myself.
Right. I'm with you. You'd come up and smack him, Solly. There's no question about that. You'd go strike him. Solly was a hitter, baby. So tight end position. At 31, do you think it's a little rich? I mean, Trey McBride from Colorado State is the guy that most people have ranked as the number one tight end. And I don't think in a lot of projections, I don't see him going necessarily in the first round, particularly with, like you say, the signing they had at free agency, in free agency at the tight end position. I'm not saying they don't address tight end.
But yeah.
I think 31's a little rich.
Yeah, I think that's where they get there. And they might look to trade back if say the corners are gone and there's no one they like, the safeties are gone, there's no one they really, really like as an impact player, a day one guy, offensive lineman and edge rushers. Let's just say they're gone right there. And they say, look, we like them, but we'd rather have them in the second round.
Right.
And that's what you do. You're going to trade back. The tight ends, I would suspect there's probably one, maybe two. I don't know who that is. You know, is it a Jeremy Rucker there? Or do you like Rucker from Ohio State in the second round, maybe a little bit better? I think they need a tight end who can impact the line of scrimmage in the run game. That if you set him to the left side, right off the hip of Jonah Williams, he's going to help in the pass protection of Joe Burrow. He's going to help set the edge in the run game where Joe Mixon can get to the second level.
Yep.
But he's also going to be equally as effective. Like if he has to catch the ball in short yardage or goal line, a red zone situations. Doesn't have to be a down the field threat. I think we already are going to be okay there. Be great to have a guy who's diverse in all of those skills, but he's a true first round pick. And we don't see many of those guys at the tight end position in this year's draft. So there's going to be some limitations. I think if we can impact the line of scrimmage at the tight end position, That's the guy you're going to want. And then you're going to have to ask yourself, is it worth taking him in the first round, 31st overall, even though he's not a down-the-field threat receiver? I think there's going to be some nuance there.
Right. And they drafted Drew Sample in the second round. He's, in their mind, kind of fits the bill that you're describing right there. And so it kind of diminishes, you know, that need, I think. But it's going to be interesting. Linderbaum, if he slides, Tyler Linderbaum, the center from Iowa, if he slides to 31, man, I mean, he's got to be in the mix. I don't know where he falls in their board. If there's an edge rusher, an interior rusher, or a defensive back they have rated higher, they're going to go there. But like you say, if they're all gone, you say at 31, can we move back and still get him, or do we have to take him here? The only thing that, you know, and it's an obvious physical reality, is his arm length is less than 32 inches. He's like 31 7/8, and that's extremely short. Those he's got shorter.
Yeah.
This kid is so quick laterally. And he was, he was a competitive wrestler. He played like six varsity sports in high school. The kid's an athlete. He went to Iowa as a defensive tackle, and they convert him, you know, when their center graduates and they say, okay, we want you to maybe try center. They convert him from defensive tackle to center, and he has a great collegiate career. So he's – some guys, when they have a perceived deficiency physically, they have something else that compensates, and he's figured it out, right? I mean, he's playing well.
Listen, I can tell you right now, I'll be screaming if he's on the board at 31. I can just say, look, I had long since thought we got no shot, but now I'm starting to think we got a shot.
I think
the only reason why we'll have a shot is because of the 31-inch arm length.
Right.
My arms are right around 32. That's long for a smaller guy, probably shorter for a bigger guy.
Right.
But I can tell you this. The guy, he's tenacious.
He finishes, man.
He's smart.
Yep.
Got tremendously high football IQ. He plays with an attitude that transcends some of the metrics that he doesn't have long arms. But, hey, man, the guy is dominating people when they're over him. He finishes his blocks. He's getting after people. The fact that he's got the wrestling as part of his resume,
yep,
tells you he can win a close hand-to-hand combat. He can get leverage and get people turned out of the hole and out of the box. This guy's got the technique, which fundamentally, man, these players who played for Kurt Ferentz,
yep,
at the University of Iowa on their offensive line, they come ready to play.
No doubt.
And that's why just because of those things I've already named, I just don't think he'll get to us at 31. But if he does, I'm telling you right now, I don't think Duke Tobin and the Bengals will be able to get that card up to that podium fast enough. I can just tell you that right now. He fits what I know Frank Pollock would like and what you know Frank Pollock. He's got all of those things, all of those intangibles that belie, right, this one little box that's not checked off because of the length of his arms.
Right.
I think the other metrics supersede that one and allows you to say, I'm going to take a flyer on him. And really, I think it'll help cover up for swinging and missing on the Billy Price deal, the Eric Ragnow deal, man. This really sets our offensive line up, I think, to go to an entirely different level. I don't even want to think about it, Dave, because if it doesn't happen, I'll be disappointed. But that's how excited I am about Linderbaum.
Interesting you mentioned Billy Price, because the big negative on Billy was short arms and it didn't work out. You know, I hope they're not gun shy, because one guy didn't work. It doesn't mean that's unilaterally.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you think that Billy Price failed in Cincinnati or maybe even in the NFL because his arms were the problem? Do you think, would you diagnose that as being maybe the major issue there?
I think there's always more than one thing, always more than one reason. Yeah, I will say, though, his and Linderbaum has not shown me this on tape, but Billy's compensation for the short arms was he was lean. He was a waist bender more than a knee bender, and he was trying to get extra length by bending at the waist with his arms. And that's going to – now you're off balance. You're going to go to the pound more. They can get to your cantilever, your shoulder pads with their long arms. Now you're giving them an easier target to grab and pull.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas Linderbaum's, his compensatory deal is, laterally, I'm quicker than you. My feet, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get outside of you. I'm going to, I don't have to try to reach you. I'm going to front you up. Like you said, I'm going to play in a phone booth. I'm going to get you in a phone booth and I'm going to muscle you around. And, you know, so it's an interesting thing. And the other thing I think in the projection, and we know how important this is because you only have 7 or 8 active on game day, his position versatility. He is a center. And and that's
not a guard.
Right. Not a guard. So he, and you know, like we're saying, guy, he can play center and guard. If they draft the center, he can kick out the guard. Well, he's a center. So if you're drafting him, he's going to take one of your 7 spots of 7 active offensive linemen. And if somebody goes down and it's not him, he's not going to, you have 6 left. He's not going to give you any versatility there. And that might be a little bit of a concern as well. But I mean, when you watch tape, a dude is a football player at the center position, no doubt.
I think his tenacity makes up for a lot of things. His tenacity and his technique and fundamentals, and not to mention his quickness. But from the neck up, he's a mean dude.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Yep. He's a mean dude now.
Yeah,
you know the dudes. I liken this kind of player to a Tasmanian devil, man. He's gonna make you work. And he's going to bring it. And so that's the kind of player he could be, that one. You can plug him in at that position, and now you don't even have to worry about it. It's the other 4 you worry about. That's I think he's that kind of player. Now, all those questions that you bring up, I think, are rightful and just. I think these are questions that you have to ask yourself. But I think he's that kind of player. I think the fundamentals, the technique, the tenacity and the speed and quickness, and then the football IQ, all of those things are the things that you start off saying that you want for a player before you ever get to height, weight, size.
I would pay to go to practice and watch Lindebaum and Krumrie.
Exactly.
But if Krumrie and Lindebaum were going against each other in practice, even just practice every day.
he reminds me of Krumrie, but he's at the center position. Why I said you plug him in there, forget you don't have to worry about it. That's how I feel. That's how strongly I feel about Lindebaum.
No, I agree with you. The intangibles are off the charts, man. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
So what do you think about if the Bengals go interior offensive line, Kenyon Green, the kid from Texas A&M, and Zion Johnson from Boston College? I'm not sure either one will be there, but I'm thinking if one is going to be there, Green might be the guy from A&M if he's there. You know, there are, like you said when we started this, and then tackles. I think a tackle that could possibly be there is Ryman, the kid from Central Michigan, the Austrian, and then maybe Tyler Smith from Tulsa. There's going to be football players there, you know, and it's going to be, okay, this far into my board, you know, if I've got, okay, well, the corner, the only corner left I have rated at 34, and I'm at 31. I got a lineman, and I get rated at 23. You know, I'm going with the lineman, right? I mean, it's just that simple.
It really is, and where do you have these players rated by position, and then how you have them rated overall, right? And I just think that as you get down the line on some of the offensive linemen, depending on what the run is, right? If there's a run on the linemen early, and I think there will be, it's somewhere in that first round. But the cornerbacks, man, people are going to want them. Those defensive backs, they're going to want them. But you know, the wide receivers, there's going to be a run there. And so one position group is going to fall.
Yep.
And that player is going to get caught simply because they're in a position group that was sort of last for the NFL teams to start making a run. So I think the edge rushers are going to go early. Then we're going to start to see some of the offensive linemen go. And then I think sprinkled in there, you're going to see a couple of corners, at least the top 2. But then you're going to see these wide receivers go, right? And now what that's going to leave is maybe some of the interior guys on the defensive line, an interior lineman like a Lindebaum kind of getting caught in the mix, because people will now start to address these other needs.
Right.
And that's why you could conceivably see him fall.
I agree.
You can see maybe a couple of corners that people had, you know, maybe after the top 4, that number 5 guy is still pretty good, but they were run on some of the other positions, right? That 5th best corner or 4th or 5th best corner failed. And maybe the Bengals are going to have to decide, is Booth better than, say, a Linderbaum? Who would you rather have? Right. That's right. It's going to come down to maybe one of those kind of decisions.
Right.
But I do believe there's going to be a really good player when the Bengals go on the clock at 31, and they're going to have to decide if they use it to take one of those guys or fall back because they feel like they can get equal value in the second round.
And that's the thing too, Solly. You make a great point. There are good players that every position group can't make a run of three or four.
That's right.
And have, you know, the Bengals, it's like it's impossible. They can't. There's only 30 picks before the Bengals select. You can't have five of each taken, you know, before.
That's right.
Almost impossible that it'll work out that way. Somebody's got other needs. So then it becomes like Bill Polian's talking about. Do you have multiple guys? Do you feel good about the center, the corner, the interior rush guy, and somebody else? So I'll move back. I'm not going to move back more than five spots because I got, you know, three or four guys that I feel good about. But I'm not going to move back a ton and pick up another high pick.
Yeah, because you could still get your same guy. Listen, at 31, you're so close to being out of the first round
right,
that you could literally see who's going to fall back to day two.
Yep.
Right. Because there's only one more pick after you. Right. So if there's three guys that you want and they're still on the board and you're on the clock at 31, as long as you don't fall back too far, you can still get one of those three guys the very next day at the top of the second round.
Right.
So that's kind of how the math will work. And that's why you could see them conceivably do it. I think it's one of the many routes that the Bengals could take on the opening day of the draft.
Well, it's good that there are some positions that they don't have any need whatsoever at, like the quarterback position.
That's right, that's right.
And you know, it's like at some point in the draft, and I'm not saying first or second round necessarily, but it would not be shocking if the best player on the board in the third round, at the end of the third round, is a wide receiver. And if that's the best player on the board and you're gonna improve yourself by taking this wide receiver, hell, take him. I mean, that's the thing. This, you know, in today's NFL, as you know as well as anybody, Sol, I mean, it's not just 22 starters. You need like 28 or 30. Everybody's doing sub packages, and
that's right.
You got a lot of guys playing a lot of football for you. So, if the Bengals can improve their depth by, you know, with better football players at positions that, oh, that's not a huge need. Well, maybe it's not, but boy, it makes the football team better because you need X number of these guys, you know. And if you're making your fourth receiver that much better, why not do it? You know,
it's the unfortunate thing. And I don't even want to begin to think about losing some of the players that we become attached to over the last couple of years. But, you know, once you have to pay your quarterback, and we're getting close, you know, after the 2022, we're going to have to maybe pay Joe Burrow the big time contract, the going rate for some of these top quarterbacks. And I put him right there in the top five. We're talking $40+ million a year.
Yeah, 40 to 50.
And so you remember when we lost guys like Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu to free agency. That's kind of the other side of it. Some of the players that we cultivated and developed, we ended up losing them to other teams. You know, now we're at a point where we can sign other players who would lose their, teams that are losing players to free agency because we have a quarterback on his rookie salary.
Right.
But once he elevates to the big time in terms of that $40+ million annually, now we're going to lose some people. And so that's why it's going to be good to draft even now at some positions where you think you don't need a receiver, right? And then 2 years from now, when someone comes plucking players off our tree, we're glad that in 2022 we took this player because he gave us depth at the moment. We didn't need him. But 2 years later, we need them, right? That's playing a role in what they're doing right now. Hey, Duke Tobin, NFL Executive of the Year. He won it for a reason, you know, and that you kind of have to be paying attention to the here and now with an eye on the future as you're moving forward. And all of those things are on the table in this year's draft because I think we're going – that's why you saw the big money spent in free agency. I think it's going to be a while before we could spend it like this. Once we get our quarterback, on that second contract.
Right. And to come full circle, that's what we were talking about when we started our conversation is if somebody wants to trade up to 31 to get that fifth year of a rookie contract where you had that salary cap flexibility. You're kicking the can down the road, you know, from paying your quarterback as many years as you possibly can, and you can surround him with as many really good players acquired by free agency in the draft as you possibly can. That is, roster manipulation is a science unto itself, isn't it? I mean, you have to.
Oh yeah.
And then of course, God forbid, injury. I mean, that throws a monkey wrench into everything. You never know. You can't control injury. You never know when injury is going to come up and bite you. And I mean, it's not a science. That's for sure. You know, I mean, there's a lot of luck involved. There's no question.
There's a very precarious nature to the game. So, you know, and listen, last year we were very fortunate in that sense.
Yep.
We were mostly a very healthy team. Look at a team like the Baltimore Ravens, lost their entire backfield on offense, except the quarterback, before they even played one game. And so that's kind of the deal. I'm sorry, my phone's ringing here. I thought we turned that off.
No problem.
But yeah, before we ever played one game, or the Ravens did, they lost their offensive backfield. And then their whole secondary was decimated with injuries as well.
Yeah, they had over 20 players on IR and 12 of them were starters, I think. I mean, that's a nightmare. Well, Solly, I can't thank you enough. I could talk to you all day about this kind of stuff. This is what is fun, is talking football like this. And there's nobody better to talk football with than Solomon Wilcots, I can tell you that. And appreciate you being so generous with your time, because I know this is a busy time for you with all of your media responsibilities, and to carve a segment out with us here for our podcast video cast is greatly appreciated, sir.
Well, Dave, hey, keep up the good work. I know about all the great work that you do around town, helping so many good people. You are a treasure, my man. You've been around doing it for a long time. A lot of us, you know, are walking in your footsteps, man. You blazed the trail, and we only can hope to live up to it. So thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it, okay?
Appreciate the kind words, Solly. You're a good man. Have a great day, sir.
You too. All the best. Bye-bye.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard, like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team.